We continue our learning. Now, Rabbi Yeshua is going to make a statement about a saris. So a saris is someone, is a male, who is made sterile either because of castration or because of some disorder that he has, a congenital disorder, that he's unable to reproduce. So here the Mishnah is going to distinguish between different types of saris, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to speak about a tradition he had that one type of saris can do chalitza and can have chalitza done to his wife if that saris passed away. And another type of saris who cannot do chalitza, and if he passed away, we don't do chalitza to his wife. So that's the way the Mishnah begins. Am Rabbi Yeshua Shamati Shahasaris Choletz V'Choltzin L'Ishto. I've heard the one type of saris who performs chalitza with his brother's widow, and Choltzin L'Ishto, if the saris passed away, chalitza is performed with his widow. And there's also a saris V'Hasaris Lo Choletz, but another type of saris doesn't perform chalitza, and in the event of his death, they won't do chalitza to his wife. But the Eini L'Faris, she didn't know which saris is which. Bar Tanura says, Shasaris Yesh Saritz Shecholetz V'Choltzin L'Ishto. And then he quotes the Pasuk, V'Hasaris Lo Choletz D'Chsiv V'Lo Yimachesh Shemo. The Pasuk says in the Chumash, when it comes to Yibum, that the name of the deceased should not be erased. Prat L'Zesh Shemo Machoy. That comes to exclude someone whose name was already erased. What it means is that it excludes a widow of a saris from Yibum. Why? Because if you had a saris who passed away, you know why? Then there wouldn't be any Yibum or any chalitza even performed, because his name was already erased prior to his passing away. He was sterile when he was alive. So it's not like you shouldn't erase the surviving brother, should do Yibum or Chalitza in order so his name shouldn't be erased. What do you mean? Name was already erased. So he's already a Saris. So the question is, which one is which? And Eini L'Faris, I don't know which Saris is a Ben Chalitza and which one should not be, is not in the category of Chalitza. So Am Rabbi Akiva, Ani Afarish. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll come to explain which is which. Saris Adam Choletz V'Choltzin L'Ishto M'Pnei Sha'isalo Sha'as HaKosher. Says Rabbi Akiva like this. A Saris Adam, Adam means a person became sterile because of an injury, not from birth, but not congenital, but rather he was injured, his castration, and the reproductive organs were injured based on some type of blow, some type of wound after he was born. It's not a disorder, it's not a disease. And that's what we call Saris Adam. That, says Rabbi Akiva, because such a person had a Sha'as HaKosher, had a time where he was fit to perform Yibum or Chalitza, so therefore, even afterwards, he will perform, at least we allow him to perform Chalitza. So he is qualified to do so. Obviously, though, because his genitals are now damaged, he can't marry. He's in the category, if we remember, from the earlier in the Perek, where in the earlier Mishnais, we spoke about Krush, we spoke about the Krush Shavcha. So the others who had some type of disorder. Psuadaka as well, where the Torah says, Lo yavo psuadaka chur shavcha b'kal Hashem. So obviously, Yibum they cannot perform. Now, you would say, hold on one second, why should that be? If the psuadaka chur shavcha, there's a negative prohibition that they can't come b'kal, can't marry into the Jewish congregation. Yeah, but there's a positive commandment of Yibum, and that positive commandment should override. Asei docha lo saseh. So the answer is that we've had this, we mentioned this in the past, that the mitzvah of Yibum, asei docha lo saseh, is only for bir rishona. But after that, then living together is going to be a prohibition. So Chachamim made a gzera that we don't allow even bir rishona, even the Yibum, on that one time where asei would be docha lo saseh for fear that they're going to want to stay married to one another, and which is going to be prohibited because he's a psuadaka shavcha. So therefore, the Saris Adam is going to be choletz because he had a Sha'as HaKosher. And not only that, v'cholzin le'ishto, meaning if a person was a saris because if this person was a saris through an injury and he dies, chalit is performed by his brother with the widow. She's considered a regular yavama and should be able to have yibam as well. So why should the Mishnah mention cholitz v'cholzin le'ishto? In order for the symmetry. But in fact, if you have a sris adam, and that sris adam passed away, and now you have a brother who's completely healthy, no problem at all, so he can perform even yibam, the Mishnah mentions chalitza, because in the case where the surviving brother is a saris, so there, of course, he can't perform yibam, but chalitza he should perform, because he had a shas kosher since he was a sris adam. The Gemara has an interesting question at Daf Ayin Testament Beis. Why should it matter that there was a Shas HaKosher at all? Oh, he had a former status. He was only a Sris Adam. Well, he became injured afterward, but it was not congenital, so it was a time where he was fit. So the bottom line is, though, now he can't perform Yibam. So why should it matter if he can't father a child now through his brother's wife? Why should we say, well, she do Chalitza because in the past you were able to do so? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The concept of the laws of Yibam tell us that this should be okay. Think about this. When it came to the person who was the brother who passed away. So a person who's dying, we assume that in the last few minutes of his life is also incapable of fathering a child. He's also a saris. And therefore, if that's the case, no widow should ever be eligible for chalitza yibam. Why? Because, you know, well, he was a saris. So therefore, there should be no chalitza at all. Obviously, the Torah requires yibam in all cases. And therefore, it recognizes the fact that he was suitable at some point in his wife in his life to reproduce. So therefore, any saris who had a shas hakosher is also considered recognized as a person whose name should not be erased, and therefore his widow is eligible for yibam and chalitza. And therefore the same thing, such a saris is also able to perform chalitza and even yibam on a doraisa level, as we said, of the fact that he had a shas hakosher. This is all Rabbi Akiva's explanation to Rabbi Yoshua. You know which saris you weren't sure. Which one were chalitza, they're in the category of chalitza, and which one is not. The saris adam is in the category of chalitza, but as we're about to say now, the saris chama is not. Saris chama, but the saris, the one who's chama means the sun. It means that the light of day never saw this person capable of having children. So that's why they're called the stris chama. So it means it's congenital. So such a person who's unable to reproduce all the way from birth, so lo choletz v'lo cholzin l'ishto, does not perform chalitza. And if passes away, so there's no, the widow does not have chalitza performed to her, because there's no period where such a person was fit. Now, what's the definition of stris chama? We understand very well a stris adam, some type of wound, some type of injury, that we can understand. But a stris chama, so the Bar Tuna tells you what it means to be a stris chama. He says, v'simanim mufurashim. He says these are the simanim, and he has a whole list here. Kol she'ein lo zakan, can't grow a beard. Sara lakui is something about his hair that it's very, very soft. Uvesara machlik, very smooth skin. And then he speaks about meme raglayim and shechva zera. Also, something about the urine. Is unable to go to a certain distance, and the shechva zera is diha. It's a little. It's not the same color, and rochets bimos hagashamim ve'ein besorom mala hevel. He washes his body in the winter months, and his body you don't see any steam coming off. Kolo lakui. It doesn't have a masculine voice. Ve'ein onikra ben ish l'isha. You really can't recognize him as a man. So such a person, that's a sris chama, and that makes sense. That in fact the Mishnah's going to speak about an islandess. So it's really the islandess is the female female equivalent of the sris chama, obviously not of the sris adam. So it's the sris chama where we say lo choletz, and if he passed away v'lo choletzin l'ishto, because he never had a shas hakosher. And then Rabbi Eliezer omer loki. Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Akiva's explanation. He says, no, I'll tell you which saris performs chalitza and which does not. It's just the opposite of the way Rabbi Akiva understood it. And this is what he said to Rabbi Yeshua. It's the one with who's a congenital sris. He can do chalitz. And if such a sris passed away, we do chalitz to his wife. Why should that be? It's congenital. He has all these signs that shows that he's sterile. He says, no, he's considered someone who's capable of having children. And we wouldn't say... the possibility exists. Why? Because it's possible to have a cure. You never know. He could mature. There could be some type of cure. That possibility exists. As opposed to Sris Adam, he's not in the category of the Sris Adam. The one who has, this is after birth, where there's some type of wound. So here now becomes the Psuagaka, Krushavcha, or the like. So then there's no way to fix that. So there's no cure for that. So such a person, since there's no refuah, chole, lo choletz, lo choletz, and leishto, she'ein lo refuah. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira ben Megusa, Shaya B'Yishalayim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira testified about coming to a conclusion of who was correct in this case about Ben Megusas. He was someone, a person who lived in Yerushalayim, and he was a person who was man, became a Saris through Adam, who was a Sris Adam, the Mishnah says, V'yibmu es ishto, and they performed Yibum with his wife, and that is, obviously shows you the Kayim Div Rabbi Akiva, that comes to establish Rabbi Akiva's position on this matter. Paraches Mishnah, hey, Hasaris lo choletz v'lo miyabeim. So the we assume, based on the Mefarshim, based on the Gemara, that this Mishnah is really authored by Rabbi Akiva. The fact that we're speaking about a Sris Chama, and that's the topic, and if this is Sris Chama, and you say Lo Chetz V'lo V'yamim, obviously this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. V'chein, and how do I know we're talking about a Sris Chama here? Because the Mishnah is about to say V'chein Islandis, which we said is the underdeveloped woman who is unable to have children, which obviously is the equivalent not of a Sris Adam, but of a Sris Chama. So therefore, if we're speaking about an islandess regarding a female, we must be speaking about a Sris Chama regarding the male, the congenital Saris. And therefore, if he's telling me he can't do Chalitz and can't do Yibam, obviously we're speaking about, it's obviously following Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And Mishnah says, again, a Saris of a Sris Chama, we're assuming Lo Choetz V'lo Yibamin, can't do Chalitza or Yibam. V'chein islandess Lo Choletz V'lo Misyabem. Same thing, an islandess, this woman who's not developed, she's show signs of maturity even after she's many years much older. Lo choletzes, let me tell you, she's not included. Why? Because the Torah says, the hayah bechor asher teleid, the bechor, the child that is going to be born from this new union, that excludes an islandess who's eino yoledes. Now, if you may remember Chazal took that pasuk, we don't take that pasuk literally. The bechor asher teleid is actually referenced to the oldest son should be the one who performs yibum. Nonetheless, that's true, that's our tradition, but at the end of the day, it does say asher teleid, and it doesn't say asher yolda. So we're able to learn from there as well, because if we were talking about the brother of the, we should look for the older brother, the older surviving brother, then it should have said v'haya b'chor asher yolda, the b'chor that was born to this family. But it's asher teleid that will be born in the future must be also there to teach us that an islandess is excluded from the parsha of Yibam and Chalitz, and therefore an islandess lo choletzes v'lo misyabemes. Says the Mishnah, hasarisha chalas livim to lo psala. A saris who does chalitza to his yivama, so that chalitza is meaningless. If it's meaningless, it doesn't disqualify her from marrying a kohen, even though we know midrabbanan would treat a chalitza like a grusha and therefore can't marry a kohen. That's only true if the chalitza is effective. But if the chalitza is meaningless, like in a case of a saris performing chalitza, so it doesn't pass her to marry a kohen. But be'allah, but if a saris has bia with her, so then pisallah. So hold on, this is not a mitzvah of yibum. Exactly. He's violating the Isser Doraisa Sirkaris of living with his brother's wife, where there's no mitzvah of Yibim at all. So therefore, psala, why? Because this is illicit relations. So of course, this Yivama can never marry a Kohen, because this is obviously a prohibited bia. The chen islandess, shecholtzu la'achin. the brother perform chalitza to the islandist, lopis salua, that doesn't apostle the islandist from marrying a kohen. Now, keep in mind, if you remember from the sixth perek, we had Rabbi Yehuda's opinion who says that an islandist can never marry a kohen. That's considered a zona because she can't have children, and then a kohen marrying her is like living with a zona. The Tanakhama disagreed. Marrying an islandist just because she can't have children, we wouldn't call that znus. We don't call that Arizona because she can't have children. But this mishnah obviously is not following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. This mishnah is assuming that an islandist generally can marry a kohen, and therefore, if an islandist had chalitza performed to her, that chalitza is meaningless, and that doesn't make her into a chalutza, and therefore lo pasalua, she's not disqualified from marrying a kohen. But bi'alua, but if they had bia with her, then pasalua, that's a violation of living with one's brother's wife, which is an erva, and that obviously will render her a zona, b'nei shabilasa, b'ilas znos.